The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, today to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Today's sermon could be entitled, "Why Small Group Ministry Rocks!" Or it could be entitled, "Why Preaching and the Preacher Are Not Enough!" Not that I'm trying to put myself out of a job, but truthfully, what happens here on Sunday mornings, it's just the start. There is so much more to glean from our community of faith. And after this receiving, you might just find yourself ready to give back a bit as well. So to get us started, let me share with you some fun and encouraging statistics from proven studies about small group ministry. 63% of small group attendees say they spend time with other believers and it helps them grow in their faith. 73% of small group attendees say they participate in service projects. And 79% of small group attendees go to church around 4 times a month. So, small group ministry is a tested, tried, and proven benefit within congregational life. And that means for each and every last one of us as well. Now, while preaching is certainly lifted up in Scripture as crucially important, the early church actually functioned more like a small group ministry. Believers gathered in one another's homes, and the gatherings weren't all that large. And they shared meals together, and over the food, they shared their lives with one another. The joys they were celebrating, and the hardships that were upon them. And through this sharing, they received support of all kinds. Financial, those who had more gave to those who had less. Emotional and spiritual, encouragement for the journey. And physical, someone to bring a meal or help with a house project that was sorely needed. And I'm sure that this sounds familiar to most of us because we have shared these joys within the fellowship of this community of faith, but also with others outside these walls. We've had these experiences of these deeper friendships. But Scripture goes even beyond this. Again, it's not going to stop in trying to put me out of a job today. The early church taught that each and every member of a community of faith was a minister. 1 Corinthians says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." That means that we each have a job to do in ministering to one another. And we each have a unique set of skills and gifts to get us there. In fact, I would argue that the uniqueness of who we are as individuals often allows us to be present in a profound way to another unique individual in our congregation who may see things the way that we do, or who may need to be challenged by us to see a little differently, or who may have experienced some hardship we too have had to endure. And the pastor and the office of preaching simply can't get at all that. But you, as ministers to one another, well, you can. Every last person in our community of faith, every last one of you is indispensable to this whole place. As Paul used the image of the body to talk about Christian community, saying the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, right? That would be ridiculous. So each and every person in this place contributes to making us whole. We need each and every one of you. And in fact, Paul pushes this point to the extreme, saying that the weaker parts of the community and the weaker parts of the body are actually those that are most indispensable. And this reminds us of the cross and Jesus' great weakness, that only after the fact were we who call him the Christ able to recognize as the greatest of strengths. So the verdict of the scriptural witness of the early church is in. Preachers and pastors aren't nearly as integral and necessary to the faith as a body of believers ministering to the body of believers. And I promise you, if you read scripture, that's what you will see is there. There's not a lot of talk of preaching. It's talk about the community of faith coming together to support one another. So although I am now getting closer and closer to being put out of my job, I'm also getting more and more excited. For when we think about the implications of what this means for our day-to-day lives, it seems the most freeing piece of good, good news. In these small settings, we are freed to share the realities of our lives, to confess the ways that we have failed in a safe place, and to share the tragedies we have faced with other sojourners. And we are also freed up to hear that we are forgiven and that we are held in the love and grace of God as we share with one another the good news that we are not alone. We are held by God, and we are held by other members of that sacred circle. And I see this happening, right? I see it happening all across our congregation. I see it in prayers lifted up for one another through the prayer chain or at healing prayer, for I've heard your stories of how your lives have been transformed through the caring prayer of others in this community. And I see it in our dinner groups when you share your stories of laughter and love that you've celebrated in your midst. I see it in gratefulness for the small group leaders that teach about everything from Spanish to the news cycle to the universe to how to critique the latest film. And I see it in the caring work of groups gathered around service, whether that's impacting lives by bringing a meal to the homebound, or leading worship and welcoming people by being an usher or a worship assistant, or by quilting a quilt that will end up in Africa wrapped around a refugee. I see it when I hear the excitement so many of you have shared about small groups starting up for this year, wondering where you will go together, knowing that it is far less about the content and much more about the camaraderie. Most of all, I have been privileged to sit with you in many of these groups where I have witnessed firsthand the love that you have for one another, the deep knowledge that you carry of each other's lives, and the abiding concern you have that each member of your small group would live into the fullest and most holistic life that they can. And let me tell you, dear friends, that is a beautiful thing to behold. Each of you ministering to one another.